relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Fascinating, fascinating. Byron, Tom, Mark, everybody wants to talk about January the 6th, less of you on masks and the virus, but we'll take all of your calls. Call board is almost full. Before we do that, I have to share with you what these people are actually demanding. This is Don Lemon, creating a segregated America, which is a little bit ironic. Cut three, play cuts.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people are not going to agree with this, but don't get the vaccine, you can't go to the supermarket. Don't have the vaccine, you don't show it, can't go to the ball game. Don't have the vaccine, can't go to work. You don't have the vaccine, can't come here. No shirt, no shoes, no service. That's where I think we should be right now. Because we continue to waste our breath on people who are just not going to change. They're, you know, the circular logic. They just keep going back and saying, well, it's my freedom. It's whatever. I'm free.
Did you hear that? It's my freedom. It's whatever. And could you tell what he was about to say? It's people who, and he caught himself, right? Well, what was he going to say? He was going to say what? Chad, was he going to say? He was going to say, who are stupid? Or who voted for Donald Trump? You know it. That's the disdain they have. And they're pro-segregation. That's who they are. We're going to take your calls now. 833-33-GORKA, 833-334-6752. Let's talk to Tom, who's been waiting very patiently in Atlanta. Line two, welcome, Tom.
Hey, Sebastian. Thanks for everything you and your team do. I've got a posting that my wife found on Gab. So, you know, we always need to make sure these things are accurate, but it's somebody took a picture of an NPR post on January 6th of this year at 9:33 a.m. And the headline is protests halt Congress electoral count, live updates. And then under that, it says Trump supporters storm U.S. Capitol, clash with police. And it looks like the NPR reporter or whatever is Marisa Peñaloza.
Okay, so I'll tell you exactly the truth about that post. But first things first, let's apply some grown-up logic here. So you're ringing up to tell me the publicly funded national radio broadcaster actually knowingly published an article before the violence occurred, which would have demonstrated to the world that it was a sham, and they actually published that. Is that what you are saying, Tom?
No, I'm saying I saw my wife found this on.
Yeah, I know, Gab, I know. But why are you calling
up? I'm not saying that happened. I'm not saying that this posting is and the timestamp is accurate. What I'm saying is I find it curious, and it needs to be looked into.
Let's stop for a second, okay? Let's stop. Sure. Let's use logic, okay? Because this is really crucially important, okay? So let's say we posit this happened, okay? So let's go through the decision tree. If this was the biggest conspiracy in America since JFK was murdered, what is the reasoning for the NPR website to give evidence that it's happening? Can you just get, so I'm trying to get you to think through what you are positing. Why would the conspirators on a public unclassified website say, ooh, look, we knew before it happened? Under what logic would they do that?
Incompetence.
Really? Because there's incompetence and then there's real stupidity. You really think, here, I'm going to write an article. Oh, it hasn't happened yet. It's 5 hours early, but let's press the send button now.
Well, I'm not, okay, now, so I hear what you're saying, Sebastian, but, you know, some people are that stupid and that incompetent, and maybe they just made a mistake that way. So I'm not, that's why I didn't call to make a claim. I called to say, can we look into this?
Okay. Well, let me tell you what really happened. So on certain websites, if you actually read it. You actually read it in the second line. Updates, constant updates. An article is written because something big is about to happen, and they know it's going to be a series. It's like the Olympics, okay? They know that lots of things are going to happen on one day or several days. And the first part of the article is published at 8, okay? And then they update it all through during the day. Something that happens at 1 o'clock, at 2 o'clock, at 3 o'clock is added to that stream of information, but the original date at the top has the date of when the first part of the article was published. Are you tracking?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's like when they do an obituary on somebody in advance because they know they're about to.
No, it has nothing to do with an obituary in advance. It's not something that's in advance. They know that Donald Trump is holding a rally on January the 6th. So they publish an article at 8 a.m. saying people have gathered in D.C. And then hours later, they add, and there's now rioting at the Capitol Hill. The time at the top of the article when it was first published doesn't change. But that doesn't mean that the stuff that was added later wasn't added later. That's what happened with the NPR story because I looked into it for myself. But thank you for keeping your mind open. I appreciate it because quite a few people don't. Byron, on this issue, people really want to talk about it. Byron, Pennsylvania, line one.
Hello, Sebastian. I think I heard you say that you were there at the rally on January 6th yourself.
Yes, I was at the White House in the front row listening to the president.
I was there also. I was in the big field there where the thousands of people were gathered. Did you hear any reports about how many total people were there?
I heard contradictory reports. It was a lot because afterwards I walked through the crowd and it was tens, hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, I heard Bernie Carrick was there and I heard a report that Bernie Carrick felt that there was close to 800,000 people there.
It's possible.
800,000. Now, if that's even close to being accurate, that means that the 800 people that broke into the Capitol is not 1% of the total crowd. It's 0.1%.
Oh, hang on, Byron. Hang on. But the rally is not what happened at Congress. Only a portion.
No, but
only a portion of the people who were on the mall went to Congress. It's not 800,000 people.
We all marched over there when Trump got done.
No. That's not true. I was there. I watched.
We walked over en masse. Most of the people walked over.
No. A lot of people went the other direction to the metro because I watched them. A lot of people did not. A lot of people left early and a lot of people went in the opposite direction. So,
but the media is trying to paint a picture that everybody that went to that rally was a terrorist, and everybody broke into the building.
Well, it's garbage. You can watch the video. Most of the people stayed outside.
It was 0.1% of everybody that went
there. No, that's not correct, Byron. You're not listening. That's only true if everybody from the parade, from the speech, went to Congress. They did not. I saw with my own eyes.
I know, but that's what the media is trying to paint a picture of now. The people, those of us that were there, one of the main reasons I was there and everybody else was there was, okay, we're showing support for Trump. But the other thing was we wanted to show support for what was going to happen in the Congress that day.
Yes.
Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley were going to introduce a proposal to delay the certification of the Electoral College vote. They were going to vote to delay that for 10 days to have an investigation.
Correct.
To have an audit. And that's what the Democrats did not want to happen.
And sadly, Byron, it's not just the Democrats. It's Mike Pence didn't want it to happen either.
Well, I think they wanted him to do something else. They wanted, I forget what, they wanted him to do some technicality.
Well, they wanted him to return the results to the battleground states where the accounting
had... That's not what Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz were going to do. They were going to introduce a resolution to just delay for 10 days. That didn't have anything to do with Pence. That didn't have anything to do with what Pence was
right, but
do.
You don't know what the 200,000, the 100,000, the 400,000, you don't know exactly what every single one of those people wanted, do you?
No, but they were, when Trump said to go and peacefully let your voices be heard, what my understanding of that was that, hey, let's go over and support Josh Hawley.
No. You're reading into it. You're reading into it. If he's actually said yes, support Josh Hawley, he would have said support Josh Hawley.
We knew they were going to try to delay the Electoral College certification.
No, you're trying to make it sound like you know what 100,000 people, or 200,000, or 300,000 people are doing. You don't know that, Byron. We need answers, but we need them from people who are not biased. Bad things happened on that day. We need to get to the bottom of it. But we know that Nancy Pelosi is going to use this as solely a political weapon. More of your calls here on America First, 833-33-GORKA. Relief Factor. If you're in daily pain and can find relief nowhere else, you've got to try this incredible product, which is providing daily liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans, me included, but also people like Deborah from Massachusetts. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. What incredible words. Find out for yourself by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you'll know whether it works for you like it works for me, Debron, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com.
Sebastian, well, listen to him. He's with us.
What's the secret of that man's health? I never asked him. One day we're going to get him back on this show. What's the secret to my health? Balance of Nature, Dr. Howard's incredible product. 6 little capsules I take every day. 3 red for fruit, 3 green for vegetables that make sure I don't miss any of the nutrients a human needs and must have. All the vegetables, all the fruit your mum wanted you to eat, but... maybe you didn't and you still don't. In that case, take Balance of Nature every single day like I do. Get 35% off and free shipping thanks to Dr. Howard if you use my name. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Balanceofnature.com. Balanceofnature.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. We're going to go to your calls, Juan and Mark, momentarily, but I just have to share with you a clip that tells you what CNN thinks of black Americans, especially black conservatives. We love the individual congressman from Florida known as Byron Donalds. He's been a regular guest on this show, on my Newsmax show. And Chris Cuomo thinks that a black man shouldn't be allowed to control his own body. Cut to.
You feel responsible for spreading a message where I'm not going to take it because I don't care what Biden wants. Byron Donald's not going to take it because he doesn't care what Biden wants. You think that's a good message for people to hear?
Well, the first thing is my message was never about Joe Biden. The message is about me and my own personal health.
I'm not getting vaccinated because I don't want to.
Hold on, Chris.
I want to read your words. I want to read your words. Byron,
I
know you don't get to cut me off. It's my show. But just listen. It has nothing to do with what Joe Biden wants. It has nothing to do with what Joe Biden wants. Funny, I never brought him up when I was deciding whether or not to get vaccinated. Why did you?
A reporter asked me on a news show, and I said it has nothing to do with what he wants. I chose not to get vaccinated because I chose not to get vaccinated. I already had COVID-19 once. I'm 42 years old. I'm in very good health. I actually get checkups regularly and do all those things. That's a personal decision for myself. Members of my family, my wife, my three kids, they've all had COVID. They're not getting vaccinated. They're all healthy. That is a decision they've chosen to make.
You ask your doctor?
For everybody to understand is this. Hold on. Here's the key thing you need to understand. If people in the United States are concerned about contracting and being hospitalized and dying, of course, from COVID-19, please go get vaccinated. I will never tell you not to get vaccinated. What I'm saying is I made a decision not to get vaccinated. And it doesn't matter if it's you or Joe Biden or anybody else that's going to stress or want me to get it. I'm not doing it because
I made that decision. I know, but that's just because you're
person.
Hold on, Byron. That doesn't make you just a free person.
Why? Why not, Fredo? Just like your question, where does it say in the Constitution you have a right that your protests must be peaceful? It's the first article. Look it up. Perhaps the dumbest man in media, but clearly a racist, because a black American doesn't have the right to decide about his health. And this freedom thing, highly overrated. Let's go to Mark Davis, California, line four. Welcome to America First.
I feel like I'm about to make history with your show here. Let's the two of us screw America's head on straight. The time frame is between 2008 and 2016.
The time frame for what?
When our President Bush, I mean, our President Biden and Obama gave the Friedreich COVID-19 virus to China.
Stop it, Mark. Please, remove your tinfoil hat. Don't waste my time. Seriously? You're going to propagate Chinese propaganda on my show? How dare you?
It's the truth.
How
it's
dare you?
It's the truth.
No, it's what the Chinese Communist government has been peddling, and you are now a useful idiot or a paid agent of Communist China. How dare
That's
you?
Why Biden rigged the election
How
so they could
dare
manage
you?
Crisis.
Go to hell. Goodbye. Oh, so angry. Right. We created the virus. Just like, you're going to say next what the Soviets said about AIDS, right? That it was created by the American military to kill blacks and black Americans. You cretin. How do these people function? What is it with the callers today? Jeff goes away for a day and the loonies call every 5 minutes? Juan's got a good question, though, or a good philosophy. He's in Texas. Welcome to America First, Juan.
How's it going, Dr. Gorka? Long time. Love your show.
It could be better, but I love the way you pronounce my name. Do that again.
Dr. Gorka.
Gorka. I love that. Welcome back, Juan.
Yes, sir. So, yeah, I was, a couple of callers back, you know, he was worried about what the other side, they'll just deny the truth.
Yeah.
People need to realize, look, let's be Christian. Let's realize that we have righteousness on our side.
We have what on our side?
Righteousness.
Yes.
On our side.
Yes.
We need to remain virtuous. We need to stay steadfast, strong, keep in the fight. Not worry about what the other side's going to do or care.
Exactly.
You just do what you have to do. Find the truth. Let the light brighten up the darkness. And you stay steady.
So this is the thing that drives me insane. Clearly, you're a man of faith. So just because you know the other side is bad, just because you know they're corrupt, what does that mean? We don't fight, Juan? I mean, where does this come from?
We let the truth shine through our actions.
Yes,
that's what we do. We follow what we're taught. We consult the higher power, and we just stay steadfast. That's it. That's what you do.
So why is this so hard? Is it the results of the November election? Why are so many people like just kind of it doesn't matter. I give up. What is it, Juan?
There's a big drop lack of faith lately.
Yes.
Whether it's faith in the Bible, faith in God, faith in the country, faith in humankind, all of that, all into one from what I've seen, from what I've experienced.
I think you're so right. I think I don't know if we're going to have to devote, you know, an hour every week to some, you know, spiritual guidance here on this show, because we need it, don't we?
Well, that's what gets us through.
Yes.
That's what gets us through. And what I try to, everyone that I get in, you know, in my vicinity that I get to talk to, or I tell them, listen, it's not for you to judge. It's not for me to judge. They will have, they'll pay for what they've done.
They will be judged. They will be judged. Yes. Juan, let me ask you, what can you just, you know, what, tell me, I'm curious, what do you do for a living?
I'm an operations manager. I manage several stores.
You are a very wise man. Let me tell you that.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the comment.
Have you received?
It's all given to me from God.
Have you received the copies of my books?
No, sir. I have not.
Stay on the line because you're going to get all three of them. That's how good that call. See, all it takes is Juan to make me feel better. Why? Because he understands. It's not up to us. We keep fighting for the truth. And guess what? The big man, he's going to judge us all. And we don't give up, ever, because this is America. Give him signed copies of The War for America's Soul, Defeating Jihad and Why We Fight. You can get your signed copies at our new store, SebGorkaStore.com. That's SebGorka, SebGorkaStore.com. Next, a glimpse into the mind of a very evil man, the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin, from a former DIA officer.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
Everybody says, ooh, the CIA, how impressive, how spooky, the big spies, the biggest agency in the world. Nothing, pikers, compared to the Defense Intelligence Agency. Just look at the comparative budgets and then you will understand. We're going to peer behind the curtain now. We're going to step into what James Jesus Angleton called the wilderness of mirrors with somebody who knows it intimately. She is the author of a brand new book, Putin's Playbook, and she was one of the most senior individuals inside our intelligence community at the Defense Intelligence Agency, working on Russian doctrine and strategy. Rebecca Koffler, welcome to America First.
Thank you very much, Sebastian.
So I met you at a birthday party or a cocktail party prior to COVID. And you're an excellent spy because you didn't let on at all what you do for a living. And then I see this book come out. I met her. I met that lady. She was at my friend's house. And now I know everything. Well, no, I know a little bit about who you are and what you've done. It's this fabulous book just out. You've got to check it out. It's from my publishers, Regnery, the best on the planet. Rebecca, first, let's talk about you, your background, and then let's talk about a certain former KGB colonel called Vlad. So who is Rebecca Koffler?
So I was born and raised behind the Iron Curtain, just like your parents, and in the former Soviet Union. And I immigrated to America because my parents raised me with the idea that one day I would go to the land of freedom and justice. They were anti-communists. They hated the totalitarian socialist system. So in America, after the September 11th, I decided to serve the country and help protect it from foreign threats. So I joined the Defense Intelligence Agency and worked as an analyst for Russian doctrine and strategy.
Explain how hard it was as somebody born on the wrong side of the Iron Curtain to gain entry into the inner sanctum of the American intelligence community. What is it, the enemy number one for the KGB?
I'll tell you this, it's nearly impossible, Sebastian. And you know my husband as well, Keith Koffler. And Keith told me when I was trying to get into the intelligence community, he said, don't even try. And it took me years and years. In total, it was almost 7 years I got about 5 different job offers from all kinds of 3-letter agencies, and then they would start the security clearance process, and it would drag on and on and on. And so finally, after about 7 years, I walked through the door, and Keith said, "No normal person would ever have the patience and the fortitude to do this." And but I was just on cloud 9. I loved my work at the DIA. I just everything about it. It's the greatest career that one can have, and it was very rewarding to work towards protecting America.
It's super impressive. I wasn't born behind the Iron Curtain. I was only born in England, and when I got my clearance in the Trump administration, my SF-86, my clearance form, even as a guy who wasn't born behind the Iron Curtain, 76 pages long. So that's how complicated it can get. I'm sure yours was a little longer. Let's talk about your book momentarily, Putin's Playbook. But first, let's set the ground rules. What is Russia like in terms of its strategic culture? One of the greatest thinkers out there, Colin Gray, we lost him a couple of years ago, said every nation has a strategic culture, the lens through which it looks at the world. What is the easiest way to understand how different Russia is, whether it's Tsars, Soviet Union, or today?
That's an excellent question, actually. And this is something that not many experts, even in the intelligence community, understand that various countries are driven by the strategic culture. Some Western experts believe that everybody is the same, and that is just simply not true, as you know.
And leads to bad intelligence.
Exactly. And that's why we are in the situation, not only with regard to Russia, but with regard to Afghanistan, Iraq, and places and like that all over the world, because the so-called experts did not factor in the mindset and the strategic culture of the adversaries and opponents that they deal with.
I've seen it myself when I was a Defense Department civilian. The fact that even seasoned veterans of the intelligence community sometimes looked at other nations as if they were looking into a mirror, and they thought, well, this is how it works in America, so clearly that's how it's going to work in Macedonia or in Vanuatu. And it's one of the biggest mistakes you can make. We're going to talk about the big mistakes in America's understanding of the Russian Federation with the author of Rebecca Koeffler, previously of the Defense Intelligence Agency. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
Making sense out of today's nonsense, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
They're going after him again. They're attacking him relentlessly. Why? Because he's a successful businessman and he's a conservative. He believes in God and he loves this country. Please support those who make this show possible, especially Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, the pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape, guaranteed for 10 years, 51 million sold. My whole team uses them. President Trump loves them. Find out for yourself. Go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code G-O-R-K-A for up to 66% off his line of more than 100 amazing products, from the Egyptian cotton Giza dream sheets to the MyPillow. Support Mike and have a good night's sleep. Call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. We are back with the author of the fabulous new book, A Glimpse Inside Putin's Russia. It's called Putin's Playbook. Her name is Rebecca Koeffler. Rebecca, I want to know, in the time we have left, what's essentially different about Russia and what do we need to know about Vlad?
So basically, Russia is driven by fear. Its strategic culture can be characterized as having a presupposition of conflict. It has always...
It's always surrounded.
Exactly. It's always encircled, surrounded. It always has viewed the United States as its principal threat. It even has codified it in its military doctrine, placing the requirement on the armed forces to develop a strategy and a weapons portfolio to counter the perceived threat. So Putin is absolutely no one who should be trusted.
And how important is it that this man, who basically installed himself as a new emperor, is a former KGB colonel who served in East Germany? How important is that to understanding Russia?
It is extremely important. You know this. You were inside the Pentagon, right? Reset relationships is just something that's absolutely unachievable.
The idea that you can have normalized relations with Putin is crazy.
It is absolutely crazy. And it's a shame that our national security apparatus does not have this basic understanding and keeps pushing this wishful thinking policy of resets that is absolutely unrealistic. Putin will never be America's friend. Russia will never be America's friend. It has no friends.
Now, let's look at how big a threat it is, because I want our listeners to be clear. It's a problem, but it's not the Soviet Union. It's a nuclear power, but it's not the Soviet Union. It has 11 or 12 time zones, but it's not the Soviet Union. I taught my military students that the way to understand Russia is it's an anti-status quo actor. It's always trying to cause trouble to its own benefit. The idea that it wishes to collaborate with anybody for the common good is just a fantasy, is it not?
Absolutely. So you're absolutely correct that they have redefined the definition of victory. Victory for them means denying us the opportunity to achieve our goals. But you've mentioned the Soviet Union. Most people would be surprised to learn that Russia's current doctrine is even more dangerous than the Cold War doctrine.
Explain why.
Yes, absolutely. During the Cold War, Russia relied on nuclear weapons as its primary deterrent, but it was mostly a psychological weapon. It was never used. Yes, they did have plans to use it, but they never actually viewed it as it. To actually conduct a bolt out of the blue strike. Right now, they plan to conduct a limited nuclear war. If they feel overwhelmed conventionally and they believe that the United States has superior conventional capability, they plan to use non-strategic, i.e. tactical weapons, to end the conflict on terms favorable to them.
So if they deem to be in a losing match in terms of conventional weapons, they have justified for themselves a preemptive nuclear attack at a tactical level to redress the balance.
Absolutely. They view it as an equalizer. And this is precisely why President Trump has given authority to our forces, to our plan, and to develop a low-yield nuclear capability that all, you know, the liberals decried. And one more issue why the Russian doctrine is even more dangerous is because in addition to nuclear weapons, it has developed what's called the non-kinetic weapons, cyber, space, counter space, all kinds of other types, underwater drones, you know,
indirect means of attack.
Exactly. They even have the same, you nailed it. So they even have the strategy that's called strategy of indirect action, which means you need to fight the war to destabilize the enemy without giving the enemy the ability to address, to respond militarily. They fight the conflict below the threshold of a kinetic conflict. But if this threshold is crossed, intentionally or unintentionally, they are planning to up the ante and go kinetically, conventional all the way to the nuclear escalation.
It's classic Sun Tzu trying to win without fighting. We're talking to the author of the latest book on the KGB colonel who became the neo-emperor of Russia, Putin's playbook. Her name is Rebecca Koffler. Follow her at RebeccaKoffler.com right now. Last minute in this segment, Rebecca, what is the
facet of Russia's activities that we are not paying requisite attention to? Is it their involvement in the Kuril Islands, Ukraine, in the Middle East, in Syria? What should we be paying more attention to?
So, to be honest with you, we are not paying proper attention with quality resources across the board, but particularly to their doctrine and strategy. We're pretty good at tracking their military capability. I call it the bright and shiny object. You know exactly like
the balance, the military balance.
Exactly. You know what goes into the PDB, right? The
presidential brief.
The oop-de-doo intelligence, something.
The stuff that's easy to count.
Exactly. You nailed it, right? So the bean counters want to make sure that you produce that type of intelligence. In the meantime, how actually the adversary fights, i.e. doctrine and strategy, falls through the cracks.
It's crazy. I saw this when I was a professor in the Defense Department. You know, we were fighting Al-Qaeda, we were fighting ISIS, and I had to write the first syllabus on the doctrine of Al-Qaeda, because they're not shy. They publish it. You can read it. If you want to understand how to defeat the enemy, you have to read what they write first, and it looks like we're doing it again with Russia. We're going to continue the discussion. We're going to wrap it up in terms of what a Trump administration would have to do with Russia next time with our friend, the author of Putin's Playbook. She is Rebecca Koffler. I'm Sebastian Gorka, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that's real, pain relief that works. Why do I say that? Because I know it. I've been living it for 2.5 years. But it's not just me. It's tens of thousands of Americans across the country, like Yvonne from California. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Pain-free, incredible words. Find out for yourself. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you'll know whether it works for you like it works for me, Yvonne, and thousands of your fellow Americans. 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
She achieved the amazing feat of, despite having been born in the Soviet Union, ending up as a doctrine and strategy specialist in the Defense Intelligence Agency. And now she's going to educate America in the low side, the unclassified arena, in her latest book, Putin's Playbook, by Rebecca Koffler. Rebecca, I teased this question to you in the break. God willing, Donald Trump will imminently announce his decision to run again, and he will be the second president to serve 2 non-consecutive terms. He will be the commander-in-chief again as the 47th president. Should that happen, God willing, what is the most important thing he should do in terms of Russia policy or signaling to Vladimir Putin that the old sheriff is back in town?
So, interestingly, President Trump pursued a very strong, very forceful policy towards Russia. Despite all the myths and conspiracy theories, he's the one who actually, as we talked earlier, enabled our low-yield nuclear weapons development. He's the one who authorized the killing of 300 Russian mercenaries fighting in Syria to undermine us.
An act which had never been done before.
Exactly. He is the one who placed sanctions on Nord Stream, and he's the one who ensured that American energy sector was a top producing sector in the world. President Biden has taken away the sanctions, and you got to understand, you know this, that Russian entire economy, including their defense economics, hinges on their ability to produce and sell oil, right? So what President Trump should do is continue his forceful policy, but also dismantle what President Biden has done in terms of nuclear arms control, because it places us into disadvantage, because there's a whole range of weapons that are not accountable to New START. And so We are not going to be able to respond forcefully to Russia in a conflict if the Russians continue producing their weapons, and we are hamstrung by those treaties.
I'm going to smuggle in one last question in 30 seconds. I cut my teeth back in the 90s on NATO policy. Is NATO up to the task of preventing Russia from expanding its territory?
I have serious concerns, actually, about NATO and NATO's ability right now to counter Russia, because NATO is split.
Yeah.
There's old NATO, so to speak, or old Europe and new Europe, and the Russians understand that, and they continue to drive a wedge in NATO. So we need to really fortify NATO.
And under Merkel's chancellorship, Germany is getting back into bed with Russia. Not good. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This has been America First. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And now, more than ever, stay frosty.